Now, what about when we change to non-parametric statistics, where either the data are not normally distributed or they're not interval? If we want to avoid these assumptions, we can apply the Mann-Whitney test. The test does not depend upon the interval properties of the data, only their ordinal properties, and so we will convert the values to ranks. So, for example, one, I line them up from lowest to smallest, and I line up the ranks from lowest to smallest, and this becomes the representation of someone's score. We are no longer looking at values, we are looking just at ranks. Not ranked values, but ranks. Oh God, here we go. Yes, there's three different things. There's values, there's ranked values. See, these are ranked values because they're values, but they're lined up. And then there's ranks, where we have forsaken the original values and only represent the ranks. As you work your way through these different statistics, you gotta consistently separate values from ranked values, which is a process, to ranks, which is a value. Tied values get the average rank of all the scores with that value. So if we have two ties, and they're tying for second and third, they both get 2.5. If we have three ties, and they're all tying for third, fourth, and fifth, they all get 4s. Ties make things harder, because ties increase the number of unique possibilities. So if we set this up, instead of having the ratings, we have the ranks of the ratings. I want you to notice that the ranking is across groups. We don't rank these by themselves and these by themselves. We rank them all because we want to know, we need some way to compare the two groups. If we rank both of them within their own from 1 to 4, the average is 2.5 for both groups. It's kind of like if you took the z-score within each group, both groups would have a mean of 0 and a standard deviation of 1, and there's no difference. But if we take our ranks across the groups, now, instead of using means, which assume the data are normal and interval, we can use summed ranks. Because remember, ranks are better behaved in terms of distributions and math than values. Every step on a ranking system is one rank. I can apply math to ranks that I can't apply to values. But I have to remember that I'm taking the summed or the averaged rank, not value. And so what we're saying here is that I'm going to rank all of these, and then I'm going to look to see whether there's a difference in the summed ranks. Imagine that everybody had the same data. Okay? If everybody had the same value, then everybody would get a 4.5. Right? You got 8 sharing the same rank. Everything would be 4.5. And 4.5 would be 17. 4.5 would be 17. How we doing? So you can see how a null would be represented in no difference. If these were all the lowest, 1, 2, 3, 4, and these were all the highest, 5, 6, 7, 8, we would have 26 and 10. How are we doing? 24 and 10. 24 and 10. So we can use summed ranks to represent the idea that this group got higher scores and this group got lower scores because they got higher summed ranks and lower summed ranks. So then we're going to do our significance test not on values or means, but on ranks and summed ranks. And here's the thing. There's a given number of possibilities for these two values. Now it's 26. They have to add up to 36. All the way from these two are both the same to this is the smallest possible value, this is the largest possible value, to the other way, this is the largest possible value, this is the smallest possible value. Now, it's an annoying number of unique possibilities to calculate, unless you're really, really good, like our boys were, at the algebra and the probability of combinations and permutations. If you're good with that little bit of algebra, this is cake easy. And so what we can do is we can crank out a U statistic based on these summed ranks. And we can calculate the U statistic so that we know what every possible probability is for every possible U given the null. So we assume the null is true. We operate on it. We get a U statistic. And if the probability of that U statistic is less than 5% given the null, we reject the null. Nothing's different. Just like correlations, chi-squares, T's and F's. It's just that this is easier to calculate because we're dealing with discrete values and a finite number of possibilities. So that's the transition from ideas to ranks and summed ranks for between groups design. When you're working with between group design, you assign one set of ranks across all conditions. Everybody has a rank relative to everybody else, ignoring conditions. So here we have the second part, the two different versions of the significance test, which is tied to what assumptions we make and what things we test. So the older version, samples represent populations with the same distribution of scores. Because a whole bunch of things can influence those summed ranks. Center, spread, skewness, kurtosis. All four attributes of a distribution can vary and influence those summed ranks and the difference of the summed ranks in the two categories, or the two groups. So the null hypothesis, fully being tested, is kind of bland. And most importantly, not particularly parallel to the t-test. The t-test doesn't compare distributions, it bloody compares means. And if we're going from values to ranks, then we're going to use medians, and we expect the Mann-Whitney-U test to compare medians. So we have a parallel to the parametric test. But it doesn't. Formally, it tests for differences between distributions. So what people typically do is they run the Mann-Whitney-U, they get a significant result. If the medians look different, we transfer that responsibility to the medians and say, see, we got a significant test, and this group has a higher median than that. And they go on. It is possible that you're getting a difference because of skewness differences rather than middle differences. And the skewness is perturbing the comparison of the middles. And so when you start reading in some of the modern textbooks about nonparametrics, you get this instead, which is really the same thing, only now instead of saying, well, we're testing four possible differences between them, watch what we cleverly do. No, the two samples represent populations with the same median, assuming they have the same variability and shape. And the shape part, it's kind of a problem, because once we decide that we have rank order data, shape doesn't make any particular sense because you can't space things on that axis, so you can't define a shape. So this increases the specificity of the null by making assumptions. It is more parallel to the null for the t-test, but it's essentially the same distributions as the t-test, equal variability and shape. The math doesn't change, no matter which of these you or the person you're looking at invokes. So when somebody says, I got a Mann-Whitney-U difference, you should stop, look at the medians, look at the interquartile range, and make sure that you're comfortable agreeing with them that this significant test is telling us that there's a difference in the center of the two distributions. All right, last piece. we've got two versions of the Mann-Whitney-U test, for smaller samples and for larger samples. If the samples are fairly small, less than 20 for both groups or less than 40 overall, then it's reasonable to calculate all the possible outcomes and figure out what's the distribution of U for a given N, given the degrees of freedom. However, when this gets large, calculating the number of unique possibilities, and remember, all this was being done before high-speed computers. This was all being done by largely unpaid labor of graduate students and undergraduates that then had to be checked and checked again because it's a fairly annoying process. With larger samples, two things happen. One, the number of possible outcomes increases to a painful level. The number of ties tends to go up as the sample size tends to go up, which exacerbates the problem of how many possible outcomes there are. All the outcomes we talked about assumed there were no ties. When you start counting possible ties, now you're talking about a 3-parameter combination estimate. Good news is, the larger that sample gets, the more U starts to look like a normal distribution. And we can treat it like a normal distribution and calculate P that way instead of from unique possible outcomes. And this again was just, there's argument about who discovered this. I like the argument that it was Kruskal because I'm a Kruskal fan, but it probably wasn't. This idea that distributions can be close enough to other distributions that we know, and so we can use those distributions that we know as the basis for null hypothesis testing, transformed everything. Because now we don't have to have a separate summary statistic and a p-value tied to a separate summary statistic for every calculation that we can think of. It is much easier to figure out a summary statistic than to calculate its p-value given the null. And so the idea that we don't always have to do that, that we can say, all right, so here's how we're going to calculate this summary statistic. By the way, this distribution of summary statistics for this degrees of freedom looks a whole lot like a chi-square distribution with these degree of freedom. And that recognition has given us most of the significance tests and guidelines that we've built since then. The idea of a distribution that's close enough to can be the basis for null hypothesis testing changed everything. So, just to be sure, we have three between groups tests that parallel the between groups parametrics. Mann-Whitney, Kruskal-Wallis, and the median test. All right, I'll show you the median test in a second, and the Kruskal-Wallis. But in all of them, we're transitioning from values to ranks, from comparing means to comparing summed ranks. We know that the more assumptions we make, the more specific the test that we make. But there's a point at which we're kind of making shit up. But we can check. We don't have formal tests, but we can check. And so I'm telling you, if somebody's talking about median differences and they use any one of these tests, look at the medians, look at the interquartile range, the variability, and make sure that you're comfortable calling this a difference of medians, not a difference of some other part of the distribution. Because we tend to worry about how distribution centers differ from each other. In the last 15 years, I've done maybe 5 analyses that compared the maximum values of groups or the minimum values of groups or anything other than the center of the distribution of those groups. All those statistics are out there, but nobody uses them because mostly what we want to know is for a group of people treated this way and that way, on average, is there a difference? And remember that the small n versions are based on the idea that when we make these assumptions with ranked values, there's a finite number of possibilities, and so we can know the probability of any given possibility, given the null. large N versions say that there's a point at which this becomes cumbersome, but as if by magic, these large N's give us distributions of our summary statistics that start to look like old friends. And we can use those as our summary statistic significance tests.